life. Would you lead us in prayer, please? Amen. Thank you. You can be seated. Now turn over to 473, Heavenly Sunlight.
Hold the fort, for I am coming, Jesus. Well, I'm going to ask Brother Josh to come forward with Angela and little baby Abigail. We get to have a special event to take place here this evening. Not all the time that we get to, hold on for a second, have a baby dedication. I just want to read a couple verses of Scripture that might explain what we intend to do by this. And they're found in 1 Samuel. And this is Hannah speaking. She says, "For this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given me my petition which I asked of him. Therefore also I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord." And he worshiped the Lord there. And so Samuel's life, a major impact that he made for the Lord, all began with a parent who was wanting to dedicate their child to God's service. And so Josh and Angela spoke to me about that, and they would like to make a public declaration and a time of commitment. What they're committing to is to train baby Abigail up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, and to do all that they can to see this child fulfill the will of God that He has for her life. And so we're really excited about that. And we're all here to support them and to help them. And this is a very neat thing. So I'm going to give them a couple tokens, just a certificate to remind them of the date and this time in which they did this, and also a small copy of the Word of God, her first scriptures, in which they have to, this is as a symbol. She may not actually read this copy by the time she reads, but this is just a token of the reality that everything that they do has to be based upon the Word of God. So I'll give that to you. And I'd like to do something a little different here this evening. Since we happen to have both of the fathers here, if you guys would not mind coming and praying for this little baby and for her future, I think that would be a very special thing. So Russell and Dan, if you guys would like to come. Put you guys on the spot here. However you guys want, if you guys want to be on one side and the other on the other, that's fine. And we'll just have Brother Dan, if you'll.
Father, we're so grateful to you for the gifts you give us. Lord, we thank you for our children and for the incredible gift and responsibility that we have to train them and to help them to grow in you. We thank you for Josh and Angela and their testimony and for their desire to keep you first and to have you at the center of their family. Lord, we thank you for Abigail and just what a blessing she is. And Lord, just this arrow that they have now to point in the direction that she needs to go. Lord, I pray that you would give Josh and Angelo wisdom and grace as they train her and raise her. And Lord, I pray that you would just help us as their family to rally around them and to be the examples that we should be for them.
Dearly Father, we just come to you tonight to ask the blessing on this baby as they are dedicating it to you, Lord. Just help us as grandparents to rally around behind them and to help nurture them and guide them along as they are young parents, as they have not been married really very long, that they will continue to grow even though they have this little one, that they will continue to grow closer to you in everything that they do, and that they can put that love and nurture this baby up in admonition of you. We just ask all this in your Holy Father's name, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Philippians 2:8 says, "And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. On the night Christ was born, just before break of morn, as the stars in the sky were fading, o'er the place where he lay fell a shadow cold and gray of a cross that would humble a king. Born to die upon Calvary, Jesus suffered my sin to forgive. Born to die upon Calvary, he was wounded that I might live. Jesus, when he came, he would suffer in shame. He could feel every pain and sorrow, but he left paradise. With his blood he paid the price. My redemption to Jesus I owe. From his throne Jesus came, laid aside heaven's fame, in exchange for the cross of Calvary. For my gain, suffered loss. For my sin, he bore the cross. He was wounded, and I was set free. Born to die upon Calvary, Jesus suffered my sin to forgive. Born to die upon Calvary, he was wounded that I might live. Dearest Lord, evermore may thy cross I adore, as I follow the path to Calvary. Of thy death I partake, my ambition I forsake, all my will I surrender to thee. Born to die upon Calvary, Jesus suffered my sin to forgive. Born to die upon Calvary, he was wounded that I might live. He was wounded that I might live.
Amen. Let's see how this works. We've got some things going on a little differently here this evening, so I'm excited. I think the Lord has led in my life to take us away from Amos, so we're going to let Amos lie until after Christmas, and we'll come back to that. There's a this was going to be a full night business meeting, multiple meetings after that, and but it's good. I want to share somewhat of a devotional. We'll see how that turns out, but I think that it'll be what the Lord has for us here this evening. So we're going to look at two passages of Scripture and two verses in some sense in both places. So let's turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 16. 2 Chronicles chapter 16. A verse of Scripture that I like to claim often in prayer, and the Lord led me to that verse this week, and the Lord brought another verse into my mind at the very same time, and so it was the providence of the Lord, and so I really want to share what the Lord shared with me and minister to my heart this week, and it's been an encouragement to me. We see here in 2 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 9, the scripture says, "For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth, to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him." I love that verse of scripture, and I'll hopefully be able to pass on some of my delight in that. Before we do, let's begin with a word of prayer. Dear Father, we just ask that you would open up our eyes and our hearts to your word, that you would encourage us and magnify yourself in our midst. May we lean upon you and trust you for everything in our lives, and every event and everything that we look for. May we call out to you. May this message facilitate prayer and trust and faith in your great name. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. The opening of this verse is a very beautiful picture. It says, "The eyes of the Lord run to and fro." The idea here is not eyes. I'm about to get to the illustration, but all of a sudden another illustration pops in my head, so I got to share that too. These guys were talking about how in high school, and there was this girl that he was sweet on, and she just rolled her eyes at him. And he just picked them right back up and rolled them back to her. So, you know, so we use different expressions that we don't mean literally, all right? his eyes are running, but the idea here is that his eyes are searching this way and this way and that way. Have you ever looked for something? Let's say this. Have you ever looked for something that wasn't important? We just did that. Just the illustration came on Saturday where a drill bit came out of a drill and it fell down into the grass. And we started looking. And after a while, it really occurred to us that it wasn't worth the amount of time that we were putting in to find the drill bit. And you say, okay, phooey, forget it. It's not that important. But the point is, what if it's something that's really important, like your car keys? And you got to go to work. You start, you're looking for stuff. You know, if I've owned it, I've lost it, all right? That's just my testimony, okay? But except for my salvation. But I'm kind of a butterfingers on things. I lose stuff, and I've had this experience. But there's times when you lose something, I mean, you got to find it now. And you are looking. You are hunting. There's a certain kind of focus. I mean, how many times you send your kid to go, "Go look in your room, find that." Come back 3 seconds later. "I looked, it wasn't there." And you're like, there takes a certain level of focus before you can find something. These words are telling us that God has an intense desire and it is important to him. He is scanning. He is looking for something. What's he looking for? In fact, we find, before we answer that question, we find that it says the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth. You know why that's encouraging to me? Because God's looking for Scott. God's looking in this room. God's looking in my heart. And he's scanning to and fro. So that means he's not going to overlook or pass by me. Because his eyes are, I want to add the word here, but add the intensity, frantically looking throughout the whole earth. Not in terms of God's in a fluster, but that there's an intensity to the desire. He's diligently searching. He's looking for something. He wants something. He desires it. What is God's desire? Well, it's the greatest desire that God ever has. To show himself strong. He wants to put on a display. He wants people to know who he is and what he can do. This is nothing short than God's glory. God wants to glorify Himself in the earth. And He's looking for opportunities to do that. You know, when we think about this, I think of 2 Corinthians. This is not the second verse, by the way. So I'll tell you what we're going to look at there. I'll turn to tell you to turn there when we get there. So He says, "My grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness." There's an element that God wants to, if God's going to show forth His glory, He has to show forth His strength. And in terms of strength, what's parallel with strength in that verse? I read it, but you probably, it's hard. Weakness is what is the contrast. That's good. The strength on one side meets my weakness, but over here He says, "My grace is sufficient for you." So His strength is His grace given to us. And God says, "I'm looking for an opportunity to demonstrate my grace, to show forth my strength. I want you to know how great I am, how glorious I am." So when is God's strength shown? He says, he's looking for an opportunity. Where is the opportunity according to 2 Corinthians 12:9? "My strength," He said, "is made perfect in weakness." So let me put it this way. God's strength is shown every time He does something we can't do. When He does something we can't do, He gets the glory and He gets to show forth His strength. Does God have an opportunity to show forth strength for you? Is there anything you can't do? I'm gonna stop the message right here. This is not a message now. You tell me. Tell me something you can't do. Okay. Can't be done. Okay. True. No man can. What are we? Is there an opportunity for you? Is there something you can't do?
Can't make my kids
go right. Cannot be righteous. Cannot raise a child on your own. Do we have some opportunities here? There's an element that says, it would have been easier to ask what we can do than to ask what we can't do. So the opportunity here, excuse me, I got my shirt out of tuck here. Opportunities are great. But why is God having to search around? Find someone who's weak. Let's see the qualification. To show Himself strong in behalf. That sounds like grace, doesn't it? He wants to benefit someone. He wants to do something for somebody. But He has a qualification, behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward Him. Do you know what? I'll be quite honest with you. I love this verse, except for the last part. That's the part that gets me. Because I have to sit there and say, God, because if you're looking and you're looking hard, why not right here, God? Right here. Show yourself strong for me. What does it mean to have a heart perfect towards Him? I'm going to give you at least two things here. In the context, it has to mean trusting the Lord. Because look over at verse 8, it says, "Were not the Ethiopians and the Libyans a huge host with very many chariots and horsemen? Yet, because thou didst rely on the Lord, He delivered them into thy hand." So having a heart, so the story here is Asa, he trusted in the Lord for the first time, but then he didn't trust in the Lord the second time, and the prophets is correcting him and telling him, this is the character of your God. You are in a place of great need. And look what God done in the past. And when you relied upon him, he helped you. But now you forsook the Lord and you didn't rely upon him. And God's looking for those whose hearts are perfect towards him. Now we say, well, I mean, that eliminates all of us, right? None of us are perfect. The Bible makes that very clear. But we have to understand that the word perfect here, this word perfect is the very same consonants in Hebrew as the word peace. And in fact, this word itself is translated peace in other places. So that kind of throws us for a loop. He's not talking about necessarily a peaceful heart, but the whole concept of God's communication about peace is that when you have peace in your life, you have a sense of wholeness. When everything's going well, there's a sense that all the parts of my life are working together. It's those parts that aren't quite fitting together that give me peace. And so for God, when he says, I want to give you peace, he means prosperity. He means a complete life. So this word perfect has the idea of fullness or wholeness or completeness. A heart who is whole towards God. It means that we're not up and down or half and half or I'm really committed to God. I mean, he's like number two in my life. I mean, he's way up there on the sky. I mean, he is, at the top. I mean, there's lots of things underneath him. But he's not number one. That's not whole. That's not complete. That's not, God, I've given you everything. And so I have to say, this aspect kind of troubles me a little bit. And I have some other references, but part of having a perfect heart, David told his son Solomon in the Chronicles, you need to have a perfect heart to keep thy commandments and thy testimonies and thy statutes. So part of having a wholeheartedness to God is trusting him, but it's also fearing him and serving him and being obedient to him. That's what the whole heart says, I'm all in on this, God. I'm not holding anything back from you. When the men of Israel brought up David to be king, it says they did it with a perfect heart. So obviously, they weren't a bunch of perfect men. It meant, in that very context, it says that they went with one heart. That they were unified, they were zealous, they were all in on this. There was no reservations towards making David king. So now we ask the question, am I perfect before the Lord? Is my heart whole towards him? Do I have any reservations? And I have to say, I'm concerned about that. I get hung up on that because often, very often, I'm not wholehearted. But I really, really want God to show himself strong on my behalf. And this is the passage that the Lord brought. So this is our second passage. Let's take over and turn to Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews 13. I've shared this one time before, but I hadn't seen it in the context and seen it in this light. Another beautiful prayer and benediction. Verse 20 says, at the conclusion of this epistle, Hebrews 13, verse 20, it says, now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ. In this we find that God has power. God has power, and he has demonstrated that power in raising from the dead Jesus Christ, who is our Lord. God's demonstrated his power. He calls him the great shepherd of the sheep, and now he's going to give us what God's going to do, but he tells us how he's going to do it first. Through the blood of the everlasting covenant. What blood is that? The blood of bulls and goats? Nod your head like this. No. Not the blood of bulls and goats. It has to be the blood of Jesus Christ, whom he just referenced, he raised from the dead. So it's the precious blood of the spotless Lamb of God, the Son of God. It's his blood that God says he's going to use to do this. And he says, I have a covenant. You know what? I get really excited when I think of covenant. We've been talking about that in Sunday school. And what we've learned is when God makes a covenant, he never goes back on a promise. It's not like Captain Hook. Captain Hook says, oh, Captain Hook never, always keeps his promise. And then he finds a sly way to undo what he did. No, God keeps his promise in absolute fullness. And if God makes a promise to me, he's going to keep it. And so that really excites me. Those are the type of things that I latch onto when I'm praying, are promises from God. And you know what this promise is? Let me read it for you. Through the blood of the short-term covenant of God. That help you see it? This is a covenant that lasts for all time. For all of eternity that he has made with me through the blood of Jesus Christ, I am in covenant. Well, I say I'm in covenant with God because God made a covenant. And he says, I am sprinkled with the blood of Jesus. I've been brought into a relationship with him. So what is God going to do through this eternal covenant, the blood of which is so precious? Verse 21. Somebody read it out for me. Make you perfect. So over here, we saw the beauty of God's... I mean, there's no place he's not searching. And he has a great desire to show forth his strength. And the only part of this whole equation that I'm really concerned about is, do I meet the requirement, and yet through the eternal covenant and the blood of Jesus Christ, God says, my plan is to make you fulfill the requirement. Did you know that the solution to my part of the equation is God? The solution to my weakness and my sinfulness is God? And you know what he says? He says, I'm going to make you perfect in every good work. Whatever I call you to do, you can do it. I'll strengthen you. I'll help you. I'll show myself strong on your behalf. And you know what he's going to do? He's going to work in you that which is pleasing in his sight. It's not just that he's going to work and make me do the right actions. But he's going to inwardly make me the right person who depends upon him to produce the right actions. And what does he say? All of this is through Jesus Christ. It's through his blood. It's through his covenant that I am relying upon. To whom be glory forever and ever. So what's the end result? God shows himself strong. He gets the glory. God right now in your life is longing for men and women in which he can show forth his glory. Do not resist the work of the eternal God in your life to bring you to that place where you're without reservation before him. Because he will do it. He will fulfill through you your side and fulfill his side and do where you are weak, where you cannot accomplish. God will show himself strong on your behalf. That is the character of our God 3,000 years ago. And that is the character of our God. May we seek his face with renewed zeal and renewed confidence in Him. Let's pray. Dear Father, we thank You so much, Lord, for Your love towards us that would make such precious promises, that You would bear Your arm and show Your strength on our behalf. Lord, may we examine our lives and find the opportunities of the things that we cannot do, but that You can do on our behalf. May we cry out to You. May we rely upon You. May we be surrendered to You. We pray it in Jesus' name. All right. We're going to have about a 5-minute break, about 10 till possibly, and then we'll go ahead and start our business meeting.